الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah, and as such we praise Him. We ask Allah to exalt, dimension, and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, and each and every one who follows them on the righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Sifatul makr wal kaid wal mihal lillahi ta'ala. The qualities of planning and yarhamukallah. The qualities of planning and plotting. Okay, and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meanings are very close. The Arabic wording is very close. So we will give all of them the same translation. Planning and plotting. Al-Sharh, the explanation or the exposition. ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله ثلاثة صفات متقاربة في أربع آيات المحال والمكر والكيد. The author, may Allah bestow His mercy upon him, mentioned three qualities that are very similar to one another in four ayat, four different verses. And these qualities are plotting and planning. الآيات الأولى في المحال وهي قوله وهو شديد المحال. Surah Al-Ra'd, verse 13. The first ayah, which is planning. We will see there's a number of ways for translating or even interpreting this ayah in the Arabic language, and we will see that inshallah soon. It could be translated in one of three ways, the meaning. Either, and he is severe in assault, or, and he is mighty in strength and severe in punishment, or, and the most accurate according to the context, and he is strong in planning. Allah is strong in planning. أي شديد الأخذ بالعقوبة. The first interpretation the Shaykh gave is according to our previous one, and he is severe in assault, meaning Allah is severe in seizing one with punishment. وقيل ان المحال بمعنى المكر اي شديد المكر. And it was said that محال means planning, meaning he is strong in planning. وكانه على هذا التفسير ماخوذ من الحيلة. And as if according to this translation it comes from the word حيلة, which is trickery, to trick, to deceive. وهي ان يتحيل بخصمه حتى يوقع به. And it is to lure your opponent so you may overtake him, so you may overtake him or defeat him until you trap him. وهذا المعنى ظاهر صنيع المؤلف رحمه الله لأنه ذكر في سياق آيات المكر والمكيد. And this seems to be the one that is probably this is the reason why Shaykh al-Islam used this one, because he wanted that interpretation, which is strong in planning. Exactly, because he mentioned it in that context with other ayat dealing with planning and plotting. والمكر قال العلماء في تفسيره إنه التوصل بالأسباب الخفية إلى الإيقاع بالخصم. مكر, planning, according to the interpretation of the ulama, is the means, hidden means that one utilizes in order to trick or deceive his enemy, in order to catch him. يعني أن تفعل أسبابا خفية فتوقع بخصمك وهو لا يحس ولا يدري. Meaning you do things that he does not know about, he's unaware of, so you may seize him accordingly, and he does not know. ولكنها بالنسبة لك معلومة مدبرة. But concerning you, to you, then it is something that has been arranged and planned. To him, he doesn't know. To you, you're planning for it. Now we will understand this in the right context, because you may get some misconceptions here. وَالْمَكْرُ يَكُونُ فِي مَوْضِعٍ فِي مَوْضِعِ مَدْحًا وَيَكُونُ فِي مَوْضِعِ ذَمًّا. Now, planning could be in a context of a praiseworthy context or a blameworthy context. It's either commended or abominable. It's either commended or abominable. فَإِنْ كَانَ فِي مُقَابَلَةِ مَنْ يَمْكُرْ فَهُوَ مَدْحِ. If it is in as an opposition or as a counter reaction to one who is planning, then it is praiseworthy. Meaning someone tries to plan in order to deceive you, and then you counter plan in order to deceive him. In this context, it is praiseworthy.
Deceiving.
Brother, don't focus on the word deceiving. Someone's trying to deceive you. So you counter react and you protect yourself, and you catch him, you seize him rather than him seizing you. In this context, it's praiseworthy, not blameworthy, because the guy was going to get you. You see what I'm saying? A thief is coming to the house, okay? And so he's coming there to kill you and rob your house. And so you put a rope outside, you know, like you catch a mouse and you catch him. Now in this context, hey, Jameel. Hasanan. لأنه يقتضي أنك أنت أقوى منه, because it entails that you are stronger than him. وإن كان بغير ذلك فهو ذم ويسمى خيانة. But if it is other than that, then it is blameworthy, and then we call it treachery or betrayal. Okay, which is not what we want. This is the, but in this context, it's not deceiving in the ultimate sense. It is planning. Let me take back my word deceiving and use the word planning instead. Okay? Or plotting, but the plotting will be probably more adequate in this. Yes, zakhlaq, and probably more adequate wording here is plotting. طيب. ولهذا لم يصف الله نفسه به إلا على سبيل المقابلة والتقييد. Due to that, Allah never described Himself with the noun. Rather, it was only used as a verb in opposition. In opposition to one who is plotting, and it is conditional to the existence of a plot against the whoever it is that Allah does not want them to be plotted against, whether it is His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam or anything else of this nature. You see what I'm saying? So it is only mentioned in the context of muqabala as a plotting against one who already is plotting. وَتَقِيدٌ, it is only conditional to the existence of a plot. But Allah did not give Himself the noun that He is the planner, right? Or the one who may, you know, lure or deceive, only as a response to the one who's doing that already. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ عَفْوًا وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. As Allah said, and they planned a plan, and we planned a plan, while they perceived not. While they perceived not. So they planned, and Allah planned, but they were not paying attention. So you notice, it didn't just mention that Allah says, and we planned. They planned first, then Allah says, and we planned. Ay. Ala al-itlaq. فَلَا يُقَلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَاكِرٌ. So you don't say that Allah is a deceiver. Because again, we're using the word plan or plot because of our understanding. You get me? But the word in Arabic, makr, makr means to deceive. You follow me? So that's why we're using an English translation according to the understanding that we get. But if you want to be, if you go look it up in the dictionary, okay, makr is to deceive someone. Khalas? So that's why I'm having this issue here. فَلَا يُقَلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَاكِرٌ. We can say that Allah is a planner because Allah plans everything in this life. You see, that meaning is okay. But when we say Allah is a deceiver, huh? Then this is not acceptable. Unless it is Allah deceiving those who are trying to deceive. You see what I'm saying? جميل. لَا عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْخَبَرِ وَلَا عَلَى سَبِيلِ التَّسْمِيَةِ. So it is not as a noun, or نعم. ولا يقال إنه كائد, and we don't say that Allah is again one who lures others into something. لا على سبيل الخبر ولا على سبيل التسمية، لأن ذلك لأن هذا المعنى يكون مدحا في حال ويكون ذما في حال. Because that meaning may be commended at times and may be abominable at others. فلا يمكن أن نصف الله به على سبيل الإطلاق. So it is not one of the names of Allah where you can call Allah سبحانه وتعالى the one who deceives or the deceiver or the things of this nature, the plotter and things of this nature. فأما قوله تعالى والله خير الماكرين فهذا كمال، ولهذا لم يقل أمكر الماكرين بل قال والله خير الماكرين، فلا يكون مكره إلا خيرا. As for the statement of Allah in Surah Al-Imran verse 54, and Allah is the best of planners, then this is perfection, because He did not say He is the one who plans the most among those who plan, like you say Arhamur Rahimin, Amkarul Makirin. Rather He said Wallahu Khairul Makirin, Khair, good, meaning everything that Allah plots is good. ولهذا يصح أن نصفه بذلك. That's why we can attribute that to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. فنقول هو خير الماكرين. He is the best of plotters. أو نصفه بصفة المكر في سبيل المقابلة. Or we use مكر, which is again deceiving, which we use planning for, as a response to someone who's already trying to be, of this character. أي مقابلة من يمكر به. فنقول إن الله تعالى ماكر بالماكرين. So we say that Allah is the one who deceives those who deceive or the deceivers. لقوله تعالى ويمكرون ويمكر الله. Because there is a statement of Allah in Surah Al-Anfal verse 30, but they plan and Allah plans. يمكرون ويمكر الله. طيب. This was the first ayah. الآية الثانية في المكر.
First 13.
Now second. وهي قول تعالى ومكر ومكر الله والله خير الماكرين. سورة آل عمران verse 54. That's the second ayah. Hey, and the disbelievers planned, but Allah planned, and Allah is the best of planners. طيب. هذه نزلت في عيسى بن مريم عليه الصلاة والسلام. مكر به اليهود ليقتلوه، ولكن كان الله تعالى أعظم منهم مكرا، رفعه الله وألقى شبهه على أحدهم على الذي تولى كبره وأراد أن يقتله، فلما دخل عليه هذا الذي يريد القتل وإذا عيسى قد رفع، فدخل الناس فقالوا أنت عيسى، قال لست عيسى، فقالوا أنت هو، لأن الله تعالى ألقى عليه شبهه فقتل هذا الرجل الذي كان يريد أن يقتل عيسى بن مريم، فكان مكره عائدا عليه ومكر ومكر الله والله خير الماكرين. Now, this particular interpretation given by the Sheikh is not necessarily considered to be a sound interpretation of the story of Jesus, since the narration that is used is not necessarily authentic. The Shaykh said this was revealed concerning Isa the son of Mary, may Allah exalt his mention. The Jews had plotted to kill him, they were planning to kill him, but Allah Azza wa Jal was greater in planning than they were, and he raised them up to himself, which is correct, and he made his appearance be cast on another individual, which many believe it was Judas who had betrayed Jesus. Right? This is understood. He betrayed Jesus according to Christianity as well. And so the story that is quoted, or according to some of the narrations or some of the tafsir, is that Judas was the one who told on Jesus. He showed the Romans and the Jews where Jesus was, because they were searching for him in order to crucify him. Right? So when Judas went in there to snitch on Jesus, it says that Allah raised Jesus up to himself through an opening, a window in the ceiling. And then the appearance of Jesus was cast on Judas. So when they entered to catch Jesus, they caught Judas, who looked like Jesus. And they said, you're Jesus. He said, I'm not Jesus. And they said, yes you are. They took him and they crucified him. Right? Right. And so he's the one who planned to get him, and the plan, Judas, J-U-D-A-S. Judas is, I believe, Iscariot. You can refer back to the Google and check out some Muslims. The idea is, from what I understand from the Tafasir, that this particular narrative is not necessarily agreed upon among the ulama. And so when we give da'wah, I personally don't be using this particular interpretation, because we cannot be telling the people something that we don't believe is authentic, otherwise we're lying. I used to say that in the beginning until I came, because I based it on this. Then I realized that the hadith that is used is actually not sahih. Okay, so in this case, then we have to go back to the tafsir. We really have no clear explanation of what happened. No authentic interpretation of what happened. Rather, the word شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ can be interpreted in more than one way in the Arabic language. Either شُبِّهَ comes from شَبَه, the appearance of one appeared like Jesus, or شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ, the whole scenario, the whole incident appeared to be like that to them. Meaning it appeared to them that they caught Jesus and they crucified him, but they really never did. How that happened, Allah knows best. Whether it was through Judas looking like him or through some other thing, no. The whole idea of crucifixion, Allah says, وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. It was made to appear like that to them. What exactly is intended by that? Is it the appearance of Judas upon Jesus, or the whole crucifixion where it appeared to them that they killed Jesus where they really didn't? How that happened, Allah knows best. Until this moment, I have not come across an authentic narration from the Prophet ﷺ which explains the events that took place in that case. And so until then, we just say to the Christians, it doesn't matter. What Allah says in the Quran, He wasn't killed. He wasn't crucified. He was raised.
He was raised.
Who differed about this? Who was crucified on His behalf? Allah knows best. But the irony is that Allah says in the same ayah that they have no certain knowledge about that. أَيَّتَبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنِّ. Another wording, or there are different wording in the ayah actually. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ المهم. They have no sound knowledge, they're only following assumptions. Meaning, there's nothing certain about the crucifixion. Now, Bart Ehrman, which now you should know by now, he actually debates with Christians today, a Christian theologian, now agnostic, with the Christians to prove to them that the whole crucifixion cannot be proven, not historically or biblically. This is a alim of the highest eminence in the Christian world, in Christendom, who is a doctor in divinity. He is graduated from the best schools. He learned the Greek languages. He debates with Christians to prove to them that Jesus was not crucified, not historically and not biblically. And just as Allah said, they have no firm knowledge. What happened, we don't know, but you don't know either. You cannot prove it, not by history and not by the Bible text. Of course, whatever they have in English is editions, but Greek manuscripts, even the discrepancy among the four Gospels is vast about the events dealing with the crucifixion. In one of the Gospels of, believe, Mark or Matthew, Jesus seemed to be composed. He has his composure together. He's not panicking. He's alright. He knows what's going on. And then the Gospel of John, he's panicking. He's saying, God, God, why have you forsaken me? The narratives concerning the event contradict each other. You know, the biblical texts concerning the crucifixion are very inconsistent among the Gospels and the writers of the Gospels. And so this creates a problem. Was Jesus panicking or was he calm? How long was he on the cross? The Gospels don't agree. Were the people remained or they ran away? The Gospels don't agree. Some say that the people stuck around. The other one said that the people ran away. Ishad. Each Gospel has a different way of narrating the same incident. You say, it's impossible. Meaning you don't know really what happened on that day. So yani, this is all another discussion. But this is what the Shaykh had mentioned, is one of the interpretations of this ayah. Now, الآيات الثالثة في المكر أيضا هي وهي قوله ومكروا مكرا ومكرنا مكرا وهم لا يشعرون. Surah An-Naml, verse 50. And they planned a plan and we planned a plan while they perceived not. هذه في قوم صالح. This is concerning the people of Salih, the prophet. كان في المدينة التي كان يدعو الناس فيها إلى الله تسعة رهط أي أنفار. In the village where he was calling people to Allah, or in the city to be more accurate, there were 9 individuals. قالوا تقاسموا بالله لنبيتنه وأهله. They said, take a mutual oath by Allah that we will kill him by night, he and his family. يعني لنقتلنه بالليل, meaning we'll kill him at night. ثم لنقولن لوليه ما شهدنا مهلك أهله وإنا لصادقون. Then we will say to his executor, we did not witness the destruction of his family and indeed we are truthful. So they're going to commit the crime, then they're going to lie. But we have no idea what happened, although they are the ones who did it. يعنانهم قتلوه بالليل فما يشاهدونه. Then they killed him at night, but they didn't see it. لكن مكروا ومكر الله. But they planned, and Allah عز وجل planned. قيل أنهم لما خرجوا ليقتلوه فلجوا إلى غار ينتظرون الليل انطبق عليهم الغار فهلكوا. وصالح وأهله وأهله لم يمسهم سوء. It is said that when they went out to kill him, they went into a cave, and then waiting for the night. They went into a cave waiting for the night to approach, and then Allah decreed that the cave closed, something sealed their exit, and so they were all destroyed in the cave. They were unable to kill Salih. And the Salih and his family were touched by no harm. Nothing harmed them. So, فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ Allah says concerning that, وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا. And they planned the plan, and we planned the plan. طيب. مدائن صالح. صالح قوم صالح. صالح النبي. These people. ومكرا في الموضعين منكرا للتعظيم أي مكروا مكرا عظيما ومكرنا مكرا أعظم. In both cases it's in the infinitive, I believe is how it is translated, meaning they had a huge plan, but Allah's plan was bigger and greater and better. This was the third ayah. الآية الرابعة في الكيد وهي قوله إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا. Everybody knows this one. The fourth ayah, indeed they are planning a plan, but I am planning a plan. Again, plotting or planning can perhaps be used interchangeably. إنهم أي كفار مكة يكيدون للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Who are they? إنهم, the disbelievers of Mecca. They are plotting against who? The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. كيدا لا نظير له في التنفير منه ومن دعوته. They're planning such a great, huge plan in order to repel the people away from him and his da'wah صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولكن الله تعالى يكيد كيدا أعظم وأشد. But Allah plans a plan that is greater and stronger. وأكيد كيدا يعني كيدا أعظم من قيدهم. And I plan a plan, meaning a plan greater than theirs. This is Surah Al-Tariq, verse 15 and 16. وَمِنْ كَيْدِهِمْ وَمَكْرِهِمْ مَا ذَكَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي سُورَةِ الْأَنْفَالِ. And among the things that they have done as plotting and planning against the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah says, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثَبِّتُوكَ عَفْوًا أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ. Surah Al-Anfal, verse 30. And remember when those who disbelieved plotted against you to restrain or kill you or evict you from Mecca. لِيُثَبِّتُوكَ يعني يحبسوك, to imprison you. يَقْتُلُوكَ يعني يعدموك, to execute you. يُخْرِجُوكَ يعني يطردوك, to kick you out, exile. وَكَانَ رَأْيُ الْقَتْلِ أَفْضَلُ الْآرَاءِ عِنْدَهُمْ بِمَشُورَةِ إِبْلِيسِ. And the best opinion that they favored is that of killing him صلى الله عليه وسلم rather than kicking him out or exiling him from the country. The best opinion was to kill him according to the consultation of who? Iblis himself. لأن إبليس جاءهم بصورة شيخ نجدي. He came to them in the form of a man from Najd. A sheikh, يعني an older man. وقال لهم انتخبوا عشرة شبان من عشر قبائل من قريش. He said select 10 young men from 10 different tribes of Quraysh. وأعطوا كل واحدا سيفا. And give each one of them a sword. ثم يعمدون إلى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then they shall go forth to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. فيقتلونه قتلة رجل واحد. They will kill him as if one man killed him. Simultaneously. فيضيع دمه في القبائل. His blood will be lost among the tribes. Because even in Jahiliyyah, they had what we know as qisas. The blood money. Or the revenge. So people have to either the killer gets killed or money is paid according to the different interpretations or the different circumstances actually. So his blood will be wasted among the different tribes. Who are they going to take back from? نعم. فلا يستطيع بنو هاشم أن تقتل واحدا من هؤلاء الشبان. So the Banu Hashim, which is the family of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, will not be able to kill any one of these youth because it could be any one of them because all of them were involved. وحينئذ يلجؤون إلى الدية. Then they have to take the blood money. فتسلمون منه. So خلاص, you'll get rid of him صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقالوا هذا الرأي وأجمع على ذلك. So this was the idea of Iblis. They said this is sound. This is a great opinion and they agreed upon that. ولكنهم مكروا مكرا والله تعالى يمكر خيرا منه. So they planned and plotted and Allah plans that which is better and stronger. قال تعالى ويمكرون ويمكر الله والله خير الماكرين. But they plan and Allah plans and Allah is the best of planners. فما حصل لهم الذي يريدون بل إن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام خرج من بيته يذر التراب على رؤوس العشرة هؤلاء. So they did not achieve what they were desiring. Rather, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم came out of his house throwing dirt on their heads. ويقرأ وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون. While he was reciting from Surah Yasin, and we have put before them a barrier and behind them a barrier and covered them so they do not see. فكانوا ينتظرون الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يخرج فخرج من بينهم ولم يشعروا به. So they were sitting there waiting for him to come out of his house so they can kill him, and he came out and they never felt or paid attention to that. إذا صار مكر الله أعظم من مكرهم لأنه أنجى رسوله منهم وهاجر. So then the plot of Allah was greater than theirs because he saved thereby his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and he allowed him to migrate. And he migrated thereafter. قال هنا إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا. Indeed they are planning a plan but I am planning a plan. والتنكير فيها للتعظيم. And this is again indicating the vastness and the strength of that كيد. وكان كيد الله أعظم من قيدهم. Allah's plan was greater than theirs. وهكذا يكيد الله عز وجل لكل من انتصر لدينه فإنه يكيد له ويؤيده. So this is how Allah plans on behalf of everyone who aids his deen, who supports and safeguards Allah's religion. So Allah will plan on his behalf and he will aid him, support him. قال الله تعالى كذلك كدنا ليوسف. In Surah Yusuf verse 76. And thus we did plan for Joseph, how he was able to get his brother Benjamin from his other brothers. You know the story of Yusuf and his brothers. نعم. يعني عملنا عملا حصل به مقصوده دون أن يشعر به أحد. So we were able to do something where Allah gave Yusuf what he wanted without anyone paying attention to that. وهذا من فضل الله عز وجل على المرء. This is from the bounty of Allah upon a particular individual. أن يقيه شر خصمه على وجه الكيد والمكر على هذا الخصم الذي أراد لقاء به. That Allah will protect that servant of his from the evil plotting of his enemy by seizing him by seizing him accordingly. فإن قلت ما هو تعريف المكر والكيد والمحال, if one was to ask, how do we interpret then planning and plotting and luring, deceiving and so on and so forth, فالجواب تعريفه عند أهل العلم التوصل بالأسباب الخفية إلى اللقاء بالخصم. Scholars say it is utilizing hidden means in order to seize one's opposition or enemy. يعني أن توقع بخصمك بأسباب خفية لا يدري عنها, meaning to be able to seize him by means which he does not know about, means he is unaware of. وهي في محلها صفة كمال يحمد عليها, وفي غير محلها محلها صفة نقص يذم عليها. And it is in some context a quality of praiseworthy, a quality of perfection which one is praised for, and at other times it is a quality of this of blameworthy which he is blamed for. A, it's a quality of deficiency which he is blamed for. ويذكر أن علي بن أبي طالب لما بارز عمرو بن ود, والفائدة من المبارزة أنه إذا غلب أحدهما انكسرت قلوب خصومه, فلما خرج عمرو صرخ علي ما خرجت لأبارز رجلين, فالتفت عمرو فلما التفت ضربه علي رضي الله عنه على ركبته حتى أطاح برأسه. The Sheikh mentioned an incident, it is mentioned, he said it is narrated, يعني we have to verify authenticity, that when Ali went to go one on one fight against Amr bin Wid, which was one of the strong men among the disbelievers, and the objective of this one-on-one competition is that when one of them is victorious, this will the one who is victorious will automatically, يعني, he will weaken the enemy because they lost one of their main leaders. So like the Muslims are fighting against the disbelievers, if the Muslim leader was to kill the Kafir leader, then the soldiers, they will be traumatized, they'll be weakened, their leader lost, يعني they will, you know, this is the objective of the Mubaraza. Mubaraza one on one, نعم. Well, it could be more than that, but in this context is one. Mubaraza is any kind of competition, any kind of competition. المهم, look at Ali رضي الله عنه. So when he finally came face to face with Amr, he said, I did not come to fight two men. So the guy looked to see who's the one with him. Ali chopped off his head. That's cool. That's all right. And this guy, he's tricking him. That's what we're saying, ya Hajj. The guy is going there to give him hugs and kisses and give him a card. He's going to kill him. So what do you do when someone's coming to kill you? You say, is it tafaddal? Here, right here, please. This is my favorite spot. Chop off my head. Of course you're going to go handle business, man. So this was smart. In this context, it's praiseworthy. You kill the enemy, the Muslims will probably defeat the disbelievers. You understand? So again, the ta'rif, the interpretation, the definition is depending on the context. This is called, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Harbu Khida'a. War is trickery. You have to trick it. Okay, your enemy say, Wallah, we have to say the truth. Where is your artillery? Wallah, everybody's hiding behind the mountain over there. Why? I can't lie, ya akhi. The enemy is asking me where. I cannot lie and tell them that we are... You have to lie. In this case, you cannot tell them the truth. We're all hiding right there. Okay, they come and blow you all up. So war is a trick. War is deceit. Because you're trying to come up victorious here. Is that clear? So you have to understand it in the context of the Islamic teachings based on this hadith. So this was here, beautiful from Ali رضي الله عنه. That was good. Hey, I'm not here to fight two men. The guy's like, well, who's with me? Boom, مع السلامة. And the guy was off. Hey. هذا خداع ولكنه جائز. The Sheikh said, this is trickery, but this is allowed. ويحمد عليه, and he is praised for it. لأنه في موضع, because it's in the right context. The scenario allows it. فإن هذا رجل ما خرج ليكرم علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه ويهنئه. This man did not come out to congratulate Ali رضي الله عنه and to honor him. ولكنه خرج ليقتله. He came out to kill him. فكاد له علي بذلك رضي الله عنه. So Ali then plotted against him in this fashion. And he got back at him. جميل والله. والمكر والكيد والمحال من صفات الله الفعلية. makr, kaid, and mihal are from the functional attributes of Allah. I found a very beautiful translation. Right, we have been using a different, both of them are correct. We have been using fi'liya, right? We said the action or the active qualities. But another adequate translation is functional. Functional attributes of Allah. التي لا يوصف بها على سبيل الإطلاق, which we do not attribute to Allah in the ultimate way, in the ultimate sense. لأنها تكون مدحا في حال وذما في حال, because it may be praiseworthy at times and blameworthy at others. فيوصف بها حين تكون مدحا. So we attribute Allah, we attribute it to Allah when it is praiseworthy. ولا يوصف بها إذا لم تكن مدحا, but we will not attribute it to Allah if it is not praiseworthy. فيقال الله خير الماكرين خير الكائدين, أو يقال الله ماكر بالماكرين خادع لمن يخادعه. So we either say Allah is the best of those who plot, or Allah is the best of planners, or we say Allah plans against those who plan against him, and Allah deceives those who deceive him. طيب نعم. والاستهزاء من هذا الباب. فلا يصح أن نخبر أن الله عن الله بأنه مستهزئ على الإطلاق. And similarly, mockery, mocking, is in the same, under the same understanding. We do not say that Allah is one who mocks or a mocker in the ultimate way. لأن الاستهزاء نوع من اللعب, because mocking is something that is يعني not befitting. وهو منفي عن الله. It is not acceptable to Allah. قال الله تعالى وما خلقنا السماوات والأرض وما بينهما لاعبين. Verily, and we did not create the heavens and earth by and whatever is between them in play, يعني just to play around. لكن في مقابلة من يستهزئ به يكون كمالا. But in opposition and response to those who mock Allah, then it becomes perfection and praiseworthy for Allah to mock them. كما قال تعالى وإذا لقوا الذين آمنوا قالوا آمنا وإذا خلوا إلى شياطينهم ها قالوا إنا معكم إنما نحن مستهزئون. And the hypocrites, and when they meet those who believe, they say we believe, but when they are alone with their evil devils, then they say indeed we are with you, we were only mockers. So what did Allah say? قال الله تعالى الله يستهزئ بهم. Right or wrong? Allah mocks them. So that mocking is in the context of what? Responding to those who were mocking. They mocked, it's Allah who mocks them. But to say that alone, that Allah is a mocker, you don't say that. So we acknowledge the verb in context of responding to one who's trying to do that, but we don't give it as an ultimate attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Like planning and plotting.
Same thing. That's why we're mentioning istihza in the same light of understanding of their planning and plotting. فأهل السنة والجماعة يثبتون هذه المعاني لله عز وجل على سبيل الحقيقة. أهل السنة والجماعة, they confirm these meanings to Allah according to their real understanding, according to the real interpretation, according to the real definition that you get from makr and kaid and istihza and so on and so forth. ولكن أهل التحريف يقولون لا يمكن أن يوصف الله بها أبدا. يوصف الله بها أبدا. But أهل, the people of تحريف, distortion of the meanings, they say you can never say that Allah is that. You can never attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لكن ذكر مكر الله ومكره من باب المشاكلة اللفظية والمعنى مختلف مثل رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. But they say the mention of this word مكر and so on and so forth is just a textual, it's an issue of wording, not meaning. So they say that we are, the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, misunderstanding the wording. And so they're affirming meanings that are not there because of their lack of understanding of the wording, just like, and the meaning is different, just like radiallahu anhum wa radu, radiallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah is pleased with them and they pleased with him. ونحن نقول لهم هذا خلاف ظاهر النص وخلاف اجماع السلف. But we say to them, this goes against the apparent meaning of the text and the consensus of the Salaf. It goes against that. Because the appear meaning, وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَكْرِ. I mean, Allah is clearly telling us what's going on. And so this is how you negate that particular misconception. That's enough, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.